This is Tri-States Public Radio News. During the COVID-19 pandemic, the United States has experienced unemployment figures not seen since the Great Depression. But strict comparisons between the two economic downturns are not easy because they are so different. In the 1930s, a larger percentage of people worked in manufacturing than they do now, and agriculture was more prevalent then, especially in the Midwest. Bill Polly says today's economy is more service and retail-based. Polly is an associate professor of economics at Western Illinois University. He feels the Great Depression was akin to the Great Recession of 2008. He says both of those economic freefalls resulted from stock market bubbles that burst.
You know, what we saw in 2008 had similarities to the Great Depression, but the reason that it didn't get as bad in 2008 was largely because of the way that the government, particularly the Federal Reserve, responded in 2008 with a very strong response to shore up the financial system. Was criticized by many, of course, as you recall at the time, but the end result really was that we did not see that kind of sustained, prolonged, dramatic drop in aggregate demand, the demand for goods and services throughout the economy. And that made all the difference in preventing another Great Depression-style event in 2008. Now, of course, the pandemic that we're suffering right now is very different from that because it has nothing to do with the fundamentals of the economy. It has nothing to do with any kind of financial bubble. This was not anyone's fault in any sort of economic sense. So this recession is going to look very different than either the Great Depression or the recession that we had in 2008. It's going to look very different.
The workforce itself is more diverse today compared to the 1930s. Also, I imagine, was mostly white males in the workforce in the 1930s. Does that play any role in the jobless figures that we see today?
It may play some role to the extent that you may have multiple wage earners in the household. If there's a family and both are working or even one is part-time, you know, could make a difference in keeping a family afloat. Whereas during the Great Depression, as you point out, with mostly white males in the workforce, if the sole breadwinner of the household lost their job, it put the whole family into poverty sometimes. And so we are, as a society, as a country, a little bit more diversified in that sense with many more people working.
You mentioned the Great Recession of 2008, 12 years ago. Do you know, has there been a point in our country where we've seen these kind of economic collapses happen so close to one another?
There was the panic of 1907, which was only 22 years before the Great Depression began in 1929. So that's not that far off. There was also a smaller recession at the beginning of the 1920s as well, but not as bad as some in the past. In the past, say prior to the mid-1980s, the economy fluctuated much more up and down, was much more volatile than it is, than it has been post-1980. Economists call that the Great Moderation. That we have seen a smoothing of the business cycle, and some attribute it to technology, some attribute it to better government policy, and some just to dumb luck, I suppose. But it's a fact that we have, you know, the last two recessions being a somewhat exception to that rule of the last 40 years, we have seen a much smoother economy.
What influence, if any, do you think COVID-19 will have on the job market of the future?
That is a great question. I think I've been thinking about this some. What is the job market going to look like as the graduates of 2020 go into the market and start looking for jobs? You know, it's appropriate at this time of year to think about those kinds of things. And there's probably going to be a realignment of in some areas. We will not need as many people in certain industries, sectors like the travel and hospitality industry is going to take a hit, and that's probably going to last for more than a year. Other things are going to see a surge in demand for those kinds of things. Everything having to do with online retail is going to surge. That's pretty much a fact. And analytics, because it's going to become important not only for business but also for healthcare. So those kinds of jobs are going to be booming. So there's going to be growth and decline, and I think the pandemic will act as a catalyst to hasten some of that change that was probably going to happen. At least some of it was probably going to happen anyway. Online retail and everything having to do with online business, working at home, you know, I think, you know, all of the different products that are related to working from home have certainly seen a surge. Now, are businesses going to let people continue to work from home? I think many will at least have that as an option for some of their employees. And that is going to cause some change. And so some of these changes may not have happened for a long time were it not for the pandemic. Others maybe were closer to the horizon and they're being sped up a little bit. And then there are some that are changing because of the pandemic, and how permanent those will be is an unknown.
Do you think there will be any demand for jobs tied directly to pandemics, COVID-19, in health research, science, whatever the case might be? Do you think there might be a call for more of those types of jobs to study pandemics, perhaps, and what we can do to prevent this sort of thing from happening again?
There may be, although I would say that for the study and the research side of pandemics, a lot of that is publicly funded, whether through Centers for Disease Control and National Institutes of Health funding grants and things like that. So if we put more federal and state money into those kinds of activities, it could increase the demand for those particular positions. And if the government doesn't put more money, then I guess it won't. Those kinds of things are a little bit more tied to that public money.
And the politics, I imagine, then, and having government leaders who believe in science.
That's true. So the areas that will be more dependent on the private sector are going to be pharmaceuticals, of course. And so that would include things like testing, all of the different supplies, the chemical reagents and the machines that are required to do rapid testing. Other kinds of diagnostic devices. You know, how many people were using the little infrared thermometers that you can just hold up to somebody's forehead at a distance? How many people were using those before this? Now they're going to be commonplace. I get them on ads on my browser these days when I'm on the internet. So it's things like that. People are going to be researching those things, but there's more of a profit motive to that. You know, that's a product that we can sell you. The testing supplies are a product that we can sell you. The pure academic research into the way that pandemics spread and evolve, that's more dependent on public funding.
Bill Polly is an associate professor of economics at Western Illinois University. He says it's not known how long the current recession will last because there is so much uncertainty regarding COVID-19. He says there is not enough hard scientific evidence to know when the nation can fully reopen its economy. Rich Egger reporting.